Can you imagine what it would be like to be blind or partially sighted 100 years ago? Seeing Our History is an RNIB Scotland project funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund that explores this question in Edinburgh, the Lothians and the Borders. Our volunteers have researched the lives of those referred to as the outdoor blind because they didn't live in blind institutions. In this series of podcasts, you can experience their struggles and successes brought to life through the real experiences of people with sight loss. Here's Moira McMurchie to tell us about lodging houses.
In Edwardian Edinburgh, lodging houses were the borderlands of destitution. There were several lodging houses in Edinburgh in the 1900s. They were occupied by men who were effectively of no fixed abode. These lodging houses were some of the places that several blind men went for cheap accommodation, especially those who made their living from street entertaining, hawking or begging. The register kept by the Missions of the Outdoor Blind for Edinburgh and the neighbouring counties includes pages for what is called the migratory class. At any one time, we find some of these so-called migrants in lodging houses in the Old Town. Loftus Lodging House in the Grass Market housed 65 men. The Jubilee Lodging House on Kingstable Road accommodated over 170. But the Castle Lodging House in the Grass Market was even larger than these. Purpose-built in the 1870s, at that time it had small rooms for its inmates, and a corridor on each floor led to a communal privy. However, in the 1880s it was restructured. Its floors were strengthened to support huge dormitories, which replaced the small rooms. In 1911, it held a transient population of nearly 400 men. Our research historian for Seeing Our History is Ian Hutchison. Ian, how did the men know how to find these lodging houses?
We can guess that word of mouth guided them. This could be down to information passed on by other itinerants. Local traders or publicans might have suggested particular lodging houses, or they may have been directed by the police or the poor law authorities.
So what would it have been like to live in a lodging house?
Lodging houses were noisy, overcrowded places where people from all walks of life, but down on their luck, might get shelter. They offered no personal space or privacy. Lodgers could find themselves involved in brawls, and theft was a recurring problem. However, lodging houses did have managers, and they did their best to impose order, enforce rules, and keep their establishments relatively clean.
It's difficult to believe that the Grass Market was home to all these homeless men.
Well, many had work, but they represented a mobile population. By the 1900s, the Grass Market and the Cowgate was an area that was considered best viewed from the lights of North Bridge, but only to be explored by the more adventurous traveller. It was a noisy area of street traders, taverns, and frequented by the occasional pickpocket. If these itinerant men could not get enough money for a lodging house bed, their last resort was to appeal to the poor law for help. Such desperation might see them being admitted to a poorhouse.
Ian Hutchison there, Seeing Our History's research historian. One blind man who would have known what it was like to live in a lodging house is John Richardson. In 1901, John Richardson, aged 49, was living in the Jubilee Lodging House. After 30 years as a worker at the Blind Asylum, he had been dismissed for theft and drunkenness. John was born in 1852 in Oxham Parish, a rural community in Roxburghshire. His father was a shepherd. He was the eldest child of a family of five. During his childhood, an accident caused him to lose his sight, and by the age of nine, he had been sent to the blind school in Edinburgh's Gayfield Square, where he learned to read raised type. In 1866, when he was 14, he entered the blind asylum as an apprentice weaver. He started on a weekly wage of 6 shillings and 6 pence. He was noted for his good character, and by the end of that year, his wage had increased to 7 shillings and 6 pence. For the next 30 years, John boarded with various families. In 1895, he was still working for the Blind Asylum, but was now a mattress maker, earning a good wage of £38.12 a year. However, in 1896, he was disciplined and suspended from his work at the asylum for drunkenness and absenteeism. This pattern was still happening 2 years later, and in 1899 he was caught stealing horsehair from the mattress workshop and selling it to a dealer. He was convicted of theft and dismissed from his job at the blind asylum. John continued to drink. Without work, he had to live in the cheap lodging houses, such as the Jubilee and Castle lodging houses, which is when he came to the attention of the Society for the Outdoor Blind. His situation continued to deteriorate, and he died from a stroke in Craigleith Poorhouse at the age of 62. A secondary cause of death was alcoholism. Research volunteer Victoria Ross followed John's story and tells us more about the life of this fascinating man. Victoria, why did the poor law authorities in Oxham want John's parents to send him to the blind school?
The poor law provided relief to families in hardship. The parochial board would have been concerned that he would bring hardship to his family, especially as he grew older and be unable to work on the farm. The poor law authorities would want him to be able to earn a living in some way so that they wouldn't have to support him in adult life.
In the long run, did this prove to be a good idea?
John learned to read raised type at the blind school in Edinburgh's Gayfield Square. He successfully learned the trades he worked in, weaving and mattress making. Therefore, it is ironic that he left for Edinburgh to avoid being dependent on poor relief, earned a craft, yet he died an alcoholic pauper in a poor house as a pauper.
So, what happened to his relationship with his family?
It's unknown whether he saw much of his family after going to blind school. If he did, it could have been a more distant relationship. However, he built friendships in the workshops of the blind asylum, and he may have formed close friendships in crowded accommodation where he lodged. This may or may not have been a good thing. John never married. Mixing with members of the opposite sex was not encouraged by the asylum, although rules like this were there to be broken.
As a young man, the blind asylum judged he was of good character. Why did he start drinking and stealing?
He could have started his drinking habits at any time of his working life. However, it's noted that John stole the horsehair with three other workers. These workers may have been some of the friends and colleagues with whom he lodged. John may have been a bad influence on others, or perhaps they were a bad influence on him. We don't know. But he certainly fell under the influence of drink during his later years.
That was Victoria Ross, one of the Seeing Our History research volunteers.
This podcast is part of a project by RNIB Scotland, supported by the Heritage Lottery Fund, which explores the experiences of outdoor blind people living in Edinburgh, the Borders and the Lothians 100 years ago. For more information about the Seeing Our History project, please go to insightradio.co.uk/seeingourhistory.
She was taken in by a basket weaver and his kin, got a job in a restaurant bar where she met Livingston. But then he was called up by HM Naval in Orkney. A destroyer smashed their boat and the rest is history. Come on.